Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Main Street Universe, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesdays. Tonight, our guest, amongst other things, has the title of being a metaphysical minister, and her various spiritual practices are vast. That will be our guest, Reverend Tiffany White, White Sage Woman, when we return right here on Main Street Universe.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
All right, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Main Street Universe, the show and network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. And before we get to tonight's guest, we will remind you that Main Street Universe is, in fact, a network of seven shows. Sundays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Spiritual Insight with your host, Mr. Darren Boucare. Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans, and Darren was gone last week, but we'll be back at regular scheduled time, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, this coming Sunday, and in part maybe discussing his latest, or maybe his first, I don't know if it's his first book, but his new one is going to be called Tale of the Serpent, and it's filled with different tarot layouts that he himself has created. And I know Darren, and I've seen some of the layouts. He's a very creative person. In fact, Tale of the Serpent is one of the layouts. He has another one called Shadow of the Moon. He has another one dealing with the imagery of a well, like a well of wisdom. So check him out, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Or check him out in person at the store at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. And Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Science of Light with your host, Randy Goldberg. Randy is a Vedic astrologer as well as a Western astrologer. He discusses Jungian archetypes and all things esoteric and metaphysical. And one time in the Blog Talk Radio e-zine that we host together, he was one of the top five recommended metaphysical shows. Science of Light, Randy Goldberg. Then on Tuesday evenings, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have and are honored to have the master herbalist, Miss Susan Weed, and I'm honored to co-host that show with her. I have learned so much over the last year or so being her co-host on Green Magic, Green Medicine with Susan Weed. And Susan has founded the Wise Woman Center up there in the Catskills of New York. She has many books out. She does lectures. She does teaching. She does classes. So check her out on Tuesdays. It's like a half-hour class. Not a very long show, but a ton of information packed into that show, Green Magic, Green Medicine, with your host, Susan Weed. Then on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, myself and associate producer Janice R. White with Main Street Universe, the flagship show, the one that started it all. My friend Kevin Baird and I are the two that founded this little network here on Blog Talk Radio. Our show I consider to be sort of the community center, the eclectic show that talks about many different topics, whether it be art, issues of nature, paranormal, metaphysical, UFOs, occasionally maybe a little political, but not angry political, mostly things that involve issues of nature and how they affect us or how they affect the human spirit. So 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Main Street Universe. Then on Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Renegade Wise Woman Radio with our host, Queen Mother Imaku. Queen Mother Imaku is one of, not just the only, but one of the hosts on our network that has the unusual honor of being an image in a tarot card deck. Susan Weed was at well at one point. Queen Mother had been in the New York tarot deck, and she was, in fact, the Queen of Cups. So check her show out. She does original language prayers. She teaches Kemetic yoga. She is a priestess of the Kemetic tradition. So 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Queen Mother Imaku. Then Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Guiding Light, which I think is the new name for Kevin Baird's show. It was called Walking on the Sidewalk. Kevin is an artist and creator of the Horizon Oracle, which had become my primary deck, as it was gifted to me from him. And Kevin can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. And then Fridays, the same night, but technically Saturday because it's midnight, is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with your hostess, Miss Jessie Ann Nichols George. And Jessie is an author of four books, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook, as well as You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook. So check her out. She has all kinds of interesting guests, including some that do some great philanthropic work, especially with rescuing animals, as well as some interesting New Age musicians she's had on her show before, including Steve Halpern, which was a great guest to have on Main Street Universe. We've also had Diana Arkenstone here. That was on Kevin's show. And many others. So those are the seven shows that now make up the Main Street Universe radio network. And now I see our guest is in the queue and has been. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. And it is Reverend Tiffany White, or White Sage Woman. And here is your microphone spinning. There it is. Welcome, Tiffany.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me on this show.
Absolutely. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay. I'm feeling a little bit slow. I've started doing more work again, and in that case, that I'm an electrician, so my customers have picked up, which is a good thing, but I'm just back to that construction pace again, so I'm a little tired, but that's okay. I always enjoy being here on the air. And I see our associate producer, Janice White, is here. Welcome, Janice.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Tiffany.
Hello. How are you?
Well, I'm busy. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, good.
Now, I've seen in your bio, before we get to Janice, I know has quite a few questions for you, and then I'll hand the mic over to her. I've seen that you incorporate, as part of your practice, many different divination techniques. I think I saw pendulum and oracle and runes and other things. Which one do you think was your first, besides maybe natural ability, which do you think was your first external tool that you ever used?
The first external tool that I actually tried was a tarot deck, but it didn't resonate with me, so I actually stepped away from it. Now, this is when I was in my teenage years, and I said, no, I put it down, crystals, believe it or not, you know, was the next thing that just really seemed to be so natural, and that's probably one of my most favorite, and crystals, so that's right in line, too, with pendulums, because pendulums now, I mean, they're made out of any type of materials, but you see them now made out of crystals and gemstones.
Yes, and that's interesting because one of our former co-hosts here on Main Street Universe, and it was on this, the Wednesday show, her name was Melissa. I don't think she minds me mentioning her name on the air, Melissa DeGenova. Her primary divination was a crystal divination form that she learned from a lady you may have heard of, Terry Milton, the Stone Lady. I think that's who taught her that divination system. And it was quite interesting. She did it on the air one day, and I didn't realize she had gotten that good at it. I knew she was learning it. And our Sunday reader, I think, Darren, was very impressed, and he was highly experienced. So we've had other people here who have really been drawn to the crystals and use that as their primary divination system. Of course, Janice loves crystals, and I like the rocks, too. I sometimes wrap them in wire.
Right. Yes, very nice.
And Janice?
Well, I use crystals in my Reiki practice, and I have 8 questions, but I'm not going to hog up the whole evening, but I do have 8 questions. My first one is, I have read your bio, too, and I know that you're a multidimensional healer, and you've been doing it for a while, but when did you discover that you could heal people? How old were you at the time?
Oh, I was very, very young. 2-3 years old. As a matter of fact, I would go around and tell people I wanted to be a healer, and they thought I meant a nurse. Oh, that's cute, a nurse. Pat me on my head and go away. And my understanding, yeah. You know, I was trying to understand, what do you mean a nurse? You know, and I also watched my mother suffer from cancer 3 times. She had it 3 mm-hmm. times. But the first time I was young, and now I saw her catch it in the very early stages. I saw it when it was in her aura first, mm-hmm. and then I watched it as it moved into her body, and I saw it as a dark shadow that followed her. And I knew it wasn't an entity. I knew it was a part of her. And it was interesting because I mean, she was going through a divorce. Her and my biological dad got divorced when I was 4. I was very young. But I saw her emotionally crumble. And the more upset she got, the more the shadow grew. And interesting, though, when she would laugh and have a good time, the shadow went away. And then I couldn't see the shadow. Yeah, so when she was happy, this shadow, you know, would go away. But as soon as she started again with the crying, and I still have a report, I think it was like in first grade that I wrote, and my mom kept it, I wrote a report on how sad my mom always was. And she didn't realize how much it affected me until the teacher gave her the report.
Okay. You said you were in first grade?
I always saw it. I could see it when it was in someone's aura before it actually entered their body.
Ah. Very interesting. Because when I was about 6, I had seen some people that had passed over. And I always had imaginary friends. And I guess that's where uh-huh. I started from. But it had left. Then when I was 28, it had came back again. But that's another long story. But you said you saw it with your mother. So when you were in first grade, could you do something to heal her? Or did you begin healing yourself first?
Well, here's the thing, is you can send someone healing, but it wasn't sticking because she wasn't doing her part.
Ah, okay. Yes, you always have to do your part.
You absolutely have to have responsibility in your healing. And she was too upset. She was too depressed to do her part.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I could always see spirit, too, at a young age. I mean, but my mother just was very uncomfortable with all the abilities and the things that came out of my mouth. I actually told her when my grandmother, when her own mother crossed over. You know, I woke up and it's like, oh, you know, grandma always came to me in a dream and everything's going to be fine and don't be upset. And she really got unnerved by things I was saying. And she sent me off to school and I wanted to stay home because I knew she was going to get the call while I was in school. But she sent me to school anyway. And sure enough, by the time I got home, she was devastated and just looked at me like, how did you know? And I was like, I told you, she came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sent me to my room. I got sent to my room a lot.
I did too, actually. So, so your mother wasn't a healer in other aspects? Because I know that she wrote a book, and I don't have the title with me, but she wrote a book, your mother,
yep,
a Christian book.
She had Life After Divorce. She was a Christian, she was a devout Christian. She wrote a lot of articles for local newspaper, for Christian magazines, and then she talked about her experience, which I was really glad, about life after divorce, because any healer who reads that book can see immediately, this is the beginning. This is where this dis-ease manifested. And then I had always wanted her to do a follow-up book on her ordeals with cancer, but she didn't make it. So, to do the full circle of here's the beginning, here's the whole ordeal. So, yeah. But I absolutely believe she had the ability. She just chose not to utilize it and just leaned very heavily, and there's nothing wrong with her Christian beliefs. It was missing a factor of that the body can heal yourself if you take care of yourself. And I think that's something that a lot of us weren't taught. We didn't know that. Our body has amazing healing abilities as long as we don't get in its way.
A lot of people still don't answer to that too, even these days with all the healing modalities, Reiki and therapeutic touch, acupuncture, acupressure, sound healing. I mean, there's, you know, millions of healing modalities out there, and there's still some people that don't believe that the body can heal itself.
Mm-hmm. True, but if you just stop for a moment and think about our body, how detailed and beautiful each organ, each item within our body is. And it just leaves you in this state of awe at how wonderful our creation really is. And so it is a very, very powerful healing state of being, as long as, like I said, and unfortunately we are in this state of time too where a lot of people are taking meds. You know, and there's just so many things. That's just not the only thing that can get in the way. Right now we live in a very toxic environment, too. You know, what we breathe, radio waves around us, you know. Technology is great, but the Wi-Fi hurts us. So, yeah. So there's just so many things that can interact and interfere.
And I'd like to take a brief break in the action here. And I do agree, like today I cut myself in three or four places doing construction work, and I kind of threw a little peroxide on the cuts, which just helped. It kills bacteria.
Tea tree.
And and that's a small example of you can just watch that the body is self-healing. You know, the cuts kind of begin to heal themselves very quickly. And that's just a very small external example of how the body is a self-healing organism. But we did have one caller that wanted to ask, I think, one question. of our guest, or of us if they want the reading, if she wants us to take it. And 207, D, you're on the air.
Hello, Daniel. My question for you, I called you about a few months ago, and you were very accurate. I asked you if I'd get a lawyer for the probate of my mother's will, and I did. And I'd like to know how you see. I'd like to know how you see this coming out for me, with this inheritance.
All right. I have these here. What we'll do? I am opening the cards right now. Oh. Okay. And Janice, I'll let you shuffle them.
Okay.
I don't mind other people using my cards. In fact, just hold on just a second, because this was a little bit unexpected, but that's okay. We do a quick shuffle. I usually try to lay on these. Alright. Right now she is shuffling. And the question is for Dee, will it work out for this lawyer, for this inheritance? Okay. She's cutting them. Two, three files.
A, B, or C?
No, she wants you to pick between pile A, B, or C.
C.
Or whichever one you call C, Janice. You're the one handling them. Okay, now from C. What's showing me that there is a lot of options.
Lots of options. Has an attorney given you lots of options?
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Oh, okay. Has the attorney given you a lot of options?
He's pretty much off on his own with this. He's working
okay.
At the angle.
All right.
And it looks like exploring.
Yeah.
Almost making me think. Pursue another one.
Another card.
A new idea.
Yeah. There's a lot of different options. He's not giving you all the options that he can give you. He's holding things back.
Yes, something is telling me this guy doesn't have, is not entirely focused.
Yes.
He's a very, and I'm trying to find the reason here. I don't know if this, this person is just.
Is this a family member?
No, it's a friend of a friend.
Okay.
Whoa.
Which is
okay.
What we discussed last time.
The one working for the other side is a family member.
Okay.
And I'm seeing, because I'm getting the eight of cups, which
mm-hmm.
is someone walking away, like they're going off to somewhere else and they're not paying very good attention, almost like they got something new and better with the Ace of Swords.
Yeah, more money.
To pay attention to.
Yeah, and he's not putting your case on hold.
It might be an issue of, see this is the, if you can hear me, yeah, this is the Three of Cups, and I think this is kind of hopefully confirming what I'm about to say. This is Three of Cups reversed, and that's camaraderie reversed.
Right.
I think there's something has happened, and this person's attention has turned away. I think he's got what
okay.
it takes, King of Cups.
Yeah.
But it's the Fool upside down, which is not taking a good chance.
Eight
of Cups reversed, which is kind of distracted, walking away. Something else better, a new thing.
Seven Cups, a lot of possibilities.
Ace of Swords. He's a little distracted, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think this basically means, just like with an old friend and all this, is you really got to keep in contact with this guy. You really
got to put fire underneath his feet.
And right after I said that, we pulled the High Priestess, which is the most intuitive card, some people say, on the deck. I think it's the prettiest one in the Rider Waite, actually. But this is really telling me this is like good camaraderie at the end. This was the end of the reading, Six of Cups, and gifts even, which is can be good, like
very
inheritance.
Good.
But it's really saying, man, you got to be on this
you
guy.
You got to be on the guy.
And that's basically what
you
this message
it.
Is. You got to really don't
you
just...
You can't wait for him to call you. You have to call him and keep calling him.
Yeah.
And if I may add to that, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Another thing that I keep getting to is it's not just him, whoever his receptionist is. There's a lot of dropping the ball here. People are just not doing their job. Papers are getting shuffled, putting on, like, the back burner. The focus is not exclusively on you. There's just a strong, strong feeling, really, of getting a different lawyer, someone who's going to be more focused. I know this is a friend of a friend, but...
A new lawyer should be got in, too, if he's not going to carry the ball.
I think it's a matter of if the communication is really good, but keep your options open and keep your options open to maybe getting somebody else, because there's a lot, like all three of us are getting the same vibration of some not paying good attention. There's a lot of stuff on the play, maybe even a bigger, newer thing that he's more excited about. Again, the camaraderie reversed card here, meaning if you want to flip that upside down, that means there's got to be good communication.
Yes.
It's showing me...
poor. He's not really keen to it. There's probably more money somewhere else, so he's going to go with the somewhere else.
Now, it did end with a Six of Cups, which is a receiving of gifts.
Yes.
But that's under the condition that you either make sure there's lots of communication with this lawyer and team, as Tiffany mentioned, or possibly searching someone else. Yeah, I know you may not have the means to do so. I'm just saying that's what the cards are telling me. If you don't have the means to do so, then keep those lines of communication
open. Keep the feet, fire under the seat.
Because we're seeing a little bit of incompetence, and not incompetence, distraction.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's distraction.
It's right now, in the whole scheme of things, it's a major
distraction type of time too.
Yeah.
So you really have to keep him to the fire. For him to actually work well with you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you very much for calling. All right.
Thank you for reading. Bye.
Yes. All right. Thanks. Bye. And again, Tiffany, I was getting the end card was the Six of Cups, which is the receiving of gifts, and this was an inheritance, but there was a lot of distraction cards in there. And including
Queen of Swords reversed.
Queen of Swords reversed, which is not good decision making. There was the Eight of Cups upright, which is the walking away from something because you found
Seven of Cups, too many choices.
The Seven of Cups, like all these options, don't know where to go. So
a lot of distractions.
And right after the Eight of Cups was the Ace of Swords upright, which is a great new thing, meaning some other new thing might have his attention. So his or her attention. Anyway, so I think opening communication with the Three of Cups reversed, trying to put that back, get that one back turned right side up again is how I would read that. And because meaning you got to get that bond back.
Again.
Yeah, and the bond back and the attention back. So, and also the Fool reversed, meaning, oops, maybe not a good time to take a chance because the Fool is all about taking chances. So, definitely keeping, if you can't afford somebody else, just make sure you're on them because there's some disorganization going on. But the most positive thing at the end, though, was the Six of Cups being in reverse, which is the receiving of gifts from family and friends, too. And the High Priestess at the end, too. But are you there, Tiffany?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Things got quiet there for a minute.
Yeah.
Yes, I was sort of putting myself in that mode. It took a second to get there, but that's okay. Anyway, Janice, I think we'll return back to some more healing practice questions. And by the way, Tiffany, your website is linked to this show page.
Yes, so people can come to your website and read about all the great things that you're doing.
The Goldilocks Temple of Healing, and it is attached to this show page. And I'll hand you back to Janice here for some more questions on healing.
Okay.
Now that you've been doing healing for a while, is there anybody else in your family that does healing besides you?
It's kind of interesting. My sons, but they're not really focused with it yet. They're because they're in their early 20s, so they're distracted like I was at that age. But they both have. I homeschooled them. And because I incorporated spiritual, we meditated, they were taught all religions, though, so that they could choose which path they wanted to go on. You know, it wasn't this is what you're going to believe. I opened it all up to them, let them do this. I showed them, a little bit of everything. It's really, whether it's psychic abilities, trust your gut, intuition, maybe I changed the words around a little bit so they didn't sound so like I didn't say psychic, I would say intuitive or gut feelings for them. And a lot of time in testing them, they were right on, and the same like with healing, they've watched me go through when I help others too and with healing, and I've had them practice and they were very good, to lay their hands on and like if I wasn't feeling good, they'll come up and, oh, here, I'll help you, Mom, So
yes.
So they most definitely do. And I come to find out, too, it wasn't until after I had gotten married and had kids found out that I always thought my husband was very highly in tune as well. And then one of his aunts is actually a psychic medium in Florida. And so it runs in both bloodlines.
Oh, great. So I have some more healing questions. What does restoring inner balance mean to you?
Restoring the inner balance means that when you are in that balanced state of mind, body, and soul, then you are not getting in the way of your body, your body's healing ability. And it's to know the right chain of command. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you can want to start with the mind, that's kind of like a backdoor way, that's okay. But the chain of command really is the sacred heart center, which is in the center of your chest, the heart chakra. Your sacred heart, your soul, whatever you want to call it, has to be in command. And your mind being the co-pilot and your body takes the orders or commands from both. All right. So it goes down from, okay, you're going to trust, connect that heart, sacred heart center there, then the mind and then the body. What happens is if the mind gets into a control situation, the mind wants to drive. The mind wants to be the pilot. I know what's better, but how many times have we sabotaged ourselves doing that too? Because we didn't listen to what we call our gut instinct. We should have done this, but we overthought it. That's the mind taking over. That's control. Mm-hmm. When your mind, and this is what I saw with my mom, her mind and heart got into a tug of war. No one's paying attention to the body, and the body behaves like an undisciplined child. Allowing any type of energies in to attack. And that's exactly what happened. Mm. So by following the proper chain of command or just being aware of it, and even too with our mind, as the mind listens and starts to trust, the left and right brain become unified. And that's what really pops open that third eye. That's the third eye power is a unified, balanced brain.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to have the right and left arguing with each other any more than you want to have, in psychology, the ego versus the id versus the superego, which is, basically mind, body, and soul, too. The mind and soul are arguing, and the body gets left over to do whatever, or vice versa. The mind and body could be arguing, and the soul starts to do whatever. But when you have everything in one gradual line, one, you know, either upright going upwards or just a level line, a horizontal level line, then everything falls into balance is ready to fall into balance. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So yeah, this definitely have to have inner balance to have health, because when when the mind and the body are arguing with each other, there's no really healing there.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm noticing your bio that we're both Reiki master teachers, and we're both members of the International National Healers Association. So what, in your opinion, attracts you, myself, and other people to Reiki?
Wow. I feel like it's because it's something that is internationally known now.
Yeah.
And it's because I have to tell you, my guides were guiding me to take to be a certified Reiki master, to go all the way with it, even though I was already practicing, you know, the healing, and I didn't really want to call it anything or label it. But realistically, we all have multimodality types of healing. It's not just one specific kind. And because you're also bringing over your past life experience, and if you were a healer, which many healers here now most definitely were healers in past lives as well. So what kind of modality are you bringing over? You know, is it just old types of forms of healing, whether it's shamanic, you know, whether it is using crystals and gemstones, go way, way back.
Way back. Like at the caveman back. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
I had a very interesting.
The guy told me to take Reiki because it would open myself up to more people as it's becoming more known. And I thought, oh, okay. So people would understand, oh, I know what Reiki is. You know, and they do. A lot of people know what shamanic Reiki is, or shamanic types of healing. And it was like, okay. And so I was attracted to it. And so that I took it and went through the whole thing. And I was like, okay, this is great. I can see where in each type of healing modality, it's just like each belief system, right? There might be some different rules, so to speak, but it's just a different path to the same divine source of healing, because all we are conduits. Just open ourselves up and just allow the healing to come through.
Yes, definitely. And I have a really amusing story. When I first moved to Baltimore, there was this house that was supposedly haunted, and it was near my neighborhood, and I would walk by it a couple times a week or whatever, but the one time that I walked by it, it was two big burly men, one black, one white, and they're like, oh, come in here now. And I'm like, no, I don't know you. It's like, come on in here, really, come in here. And it was just really assistant, and then they actually left the building and came and got me, which is like, okay, this is going to end up being two ways. Either they're going to kill me or they're going to show me something good. But I don't know which one it is. And I went in there, and they were like, oh, we're having a Reiki share. And they're like, what's a Reiki share? And they were going into the basics of, you know, light body modality, lines up the chakras, and, you know, all this. And at the time, I was looking at them like they had three heads, because I didn't know any of this stuff, what it actually meant. But I went in there, and they gave me a Reiki treatment. They fed me, and they told me some kind of story. And, oh, this is cool. I get free food, and you know, the people are touching my legs, because I was having a lot of trouble with my legs. And that was even before I broke my knee and all this other stuff. And I kept going back until, you know, it was clear what they were doing and what Reiki was, and I end up taking one and two together, which I don't recommend. But I end up doing that. Then a couple years later, I did ART, which a lot of people don't do now. But my Reiki master still does ART, which is advanced Reiki training. And I became a master in 1999. And that was just with traditional Ushui. I have went on to Sikkim and Sacred Fire and a couple other ones. So, but that's how it started with me. You know, two guys coming out of this haunted building of some sort, dragging me in there. Are you there? Oh, okay.
Well, that wasn't a test of trust, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's a big test of trust, because normally you wouldn't want two big people dragging you into a building. That usually that's not a good thing.
Right.
Right. That's a
you
great
lived in Baltimore.
Story.
You should know better than the
No, that's when I first moved to Baltimore.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so you were,
now I would never do that now.
You were still naive then.
Yeah, I would never do that now.
We're from Baltimore. Anyway, you started the Goldilocks Temple of Healing, LLC, and I see, as I mentioned earlier in the show, that you are, your title being a metaphysical minister, and that place is called, is it Temple of Light? Did I get that right?
It's Be the Light.
Be the Light Temple. Go ahead.
Be the Light Metaphysical Chapel, and it's an actual physical building in Florida. In Land of Lakes, I think. They moved to Land of Lakes, Florida, the western part of Florida. But where I received my ordination.
Okay. And right here in Arlington, Virginia, we have, and they'll probably be a guest at some point. I've actually been there and talked to them. And it's really cool when you have a metaphysical chapel, because we have one here in Arlington, Virginia, and it's basically called that. Every one Saturday a month, they have the Psychic Saturdays where they do readings for fundraising for various things. So the readers don't get paid, but the money goes to either the temple or to a chosen charity. I think it varies from time to time. So I was wondering if you could share with us some of the ministry services provided as a metaphysical minister.
Oh, sure. As a metaphysical minister, and I actually, if I'm interdenominational minister, all right, and that pretty much means that a non-denominational minister avoids affiliation with any denomination, while an interdenominational minister embraces all paths, and I might add all harm none paths to God Creator, you know, all denominations. So no matter what your belief system is, most absolutely I work with you. I know that you could work with me. I do offer spiritual counseling. And there also what's included is pre-marriage counseling, which is important for those that, the younger ones, really are the ones that kind of go into this, who kind of take advantage of that. But I'm finding more and more people are really coming together spiritually. Today there's a knowing. We know that everything's going to be okay. But the spiritual counseling is open. I also offer I think a lot of people, when they think of spiritual counseling, they think of it like maybe psychiatry or something. But it's not like that. It's very much mind, body, and soul, very spiritual. And also I deal a lot with people with post-traumatic stress, because believe it or not, we all suffer from one form or another of PTSD. As soon as we're born in this earth, we've got it, because it's like, oh, crap, we're back. You know, so that's the first one. But and then whatever we experience in our past. I do actually offer to military veterans or any military EMTs that they get free sessions. There's no charge for veterans and emergency responders for spiritual counseling. And I do give them great discounts in their healing sessions. My husband is retired Navy, so I'm a veteran military wife. And I have a lot of training to beyond just the spiritual realm. I was an ombudsman for about a year and a half. And so I took advantage of all the training that the government offered, which included crisis response and management, handling difficult, angry people, stress and burnout, suicide, addiction, alcohol and drugs, and team building, and, of course, and networking advanced training courses. So this is something that, I was applying to the healing modalities, but at the time we didn't realize that. You see how everything just kind of entwines. What we do and work and what our spiritual being, it's like strands of DNA. You see, just see how they weave together. And it's very beautiful how we incorporate everything that we have learned and bringing it forward to what we are now, right? To what we're doing now. I also do offer commitment and wedding ceremonies, baptisms, but more of a, it's like a cleansing and dedication ceremony because we are all children of God. You know, at no point did we ever really, especially as babies, were we taken away from God, so, or Creator. And so it's just really recognizing the baby as an individual. Some people just want a cleansing ceremony. Some want a naming ceremony as well. And so that's usually, I find people in the Celtic and Native American, like the naming ceremony goes back in their culture and heritage. And it's not a legal name change, but it is just something that the community, the family, will call the child.
Sort of like your Tiffany, a white sage woman,
A white sage woman, yes, is my Native American name that was bestowed to me, and I'm very honored. Because it came out of the blue too. I had no idea it was coming. It was a nice surprise, and I didn't understand it at the time, and was told to embrace it, and so I did. And when you start working with those type of energies, it just opened up for me a whole lot more. And so I didn't need to find out that actually my great-grandfather helped with that because he was a Native American, full-blooded Native American, but he was written out of our family history because he left the family. So my grandmother got him back by not talking about him. So because she had to, as the oldest, she had to help her mother by going to work and making money for her siblings and her mom. So she was angry at him for leaving, so she didn't talk about him. But he came in spirit, and I realized he was part of that driving force. And I do have two Native American guides that work within my group, my spirit guide group, Circle of Guides. So they came forward really strong, and I realized it was a gift from all of them and that I was ready. It was a, you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all like those types of validations, and everyone gets them in different ways.
Yes. Well, now that we're talking about services, what kind of healing services do you provide as well, besides Reiki?
Right, but besides Reiki. If someone wants a specific, usually when someone comes in, you're getting all of these anyway, unless if you really want, if someone wants just a shamanic, then they'll get the shamanic, which is incorporating, I have a Native drum, it's a goat skin drum, I have a rattle, and then I have sacred feathers for smudging, and everyone's just smudged anyway as soon as you come into the sacred space for healing, you're smudged. And it could be music playing in the background. Again, if you want shamanic, then it's going to be, it's just some Native music in the back, very soft type of thing. If you're looking for, there's just crystals where you will lay down and actually do like a crystal grid around you, and you're in the middle of this grid. And so that's very, very powerful as well. And then Tibetan bowl healings. So that's incorporating the Tibetan healing bowl, not the singing bowl, but the healing bowl.
And it's all sound healing, sure, but with the Tibetan healing bowl, it was very specific to make sure that it was from the Himalayas with the seven metals, and it's hammered. And when they're handmade by the monks like that, because the monks chant healing mantras, and so it's very, very powerful. So I just use one Tibetan healing bowl in the session. So if someone wants a very specific, then that's what they get, a very specific. But usually when someone comes in, they get a combination of everything. I put crystals in their hands. They get Reiki, you know, and so they're getting the shamanism, too, goes in there and cleans. And I didn't know this. I had to research this, was going into the chakras and cleansing them. Now, for listeners, I'm not going to go into great detail because you really need to be a healer to do this, but you can understand what I'm talking about as a healer. And I actually read Alberto Vallarta, I think that's his last name, but when I read his book, and he was like, how about this technique? And I was like, I'm doing that. That's what I'm doing. How about that? So you get to learn a little bit more about yourself, too. Just go with it, you know, and because each healing session is going to be different, as you know, it's different.
It's very different.
Yes.
Right. Okay. But I had read about a Ron Valor, or Ron Valdor, maybe?
Ron Valdor is using actually runes, a set of runes, to incorporate in the healing session. That's a type of healing as well. And what you do really is you're using the runes like crystals, like you do with crystals and gemstones, except for these have some symbology on them, you know, some symbol. So it really works more with your sacral chakra. Really works with that yellow chakra, all right? And this is where, believe it or not, a lot of people hold stuff. Or some people feel like, you know, oh, my goodness, I got stabbed in the back, but I feel pain in my stomach. Some people actually literally get sick to their stomach. This is where some people, and you can tell, you watch your body's reaction to stress. Where do you feel it? More people feel it in their stomach than any place else. So this is very concentrated. If someone is having a lot of gut issues or stomach issues, intestines, I will do a Rune Valdor type of healing, getting in there, and it's shining that golden light right into it. It's very concentrated.
Okay. Yeah, I know that besides headaches or maybe backaches, there's a lot of stomach issues with people in Reiki. You can feel it sometimes as soon as they lie down on the table.
Right.
Yes.
So you also do house cleansing as well as some feng shui and clearing and stuff. Maybe you could discuss that a little bit. We have about 7 minutes left, by the way.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, actually, it's not even realizing what I was doing, because it just goes hand in hand that if you need to take care of your body, what houses your body, your home, that needs to be healthy too. Because if you have a sick environment, you're going to have a sick body too. So your environment should be healthy. And I was doing this intuitively, making sure the house isn't cluttered, is very careful, very sensitive with energy around, as most of us are, you know. And so you can tell when there's a shift in the energy. And so I was actually practicing feng shui before I even realized it, you know. And what feng shui is, it means really is wind and water, and there's a balance. And this is old Chinese philosophy, Eastern philosophy, that you must be in harmony with the land. Right, and it doesn't mean you have to bring the outside inside physically, but energetically. We must live in harmony with the land. How many people bless the land before you dig the earth to plant a plant or to plant a tree? You know, we just do it. But you must realize that you are disturbing. It's like someone to come up and just start pinching you or wanting to dig a hole in your arm. You know, we have to
ask permission, too. You can't just grab a shovel and start shoveling.
That's it, exactly, because you may even say, no, not it. You may get the response of, no, not here, but somewhere else,
yeah.
You know, and so we really have to be careful, and a lot of people don't take time anymore for blessings and for a ceremony of asking, and you have to have that peace and that harmony, and I'll give you an example. Is we were really, really devastated when there was a Japanese maple tree in our backyard that's so beautiful with those red leaves. And it had gotten, unfortunately, maples are subject to fungus. And so a lady on the corner from us had that maple tree fungus, and, of course, it spreads like wildfire. So our poor maple tree had this fungus, and it had to come down. We could have hired someone. I said, no, we're going to do it ourselves because we're going to bless it, and we're going to do this in a ceremonious type of way. And so I asked the right time of the day to do this, because, you know, sometimes it's morning, sometimes it's afternoon, and it was like, okay, they gave me the time, it was morning time, so I went out there and with no electric tools, everything was all hand, you know, that I would limb by limb with the cutters and all these pruning tools, manual pruning tools, I took each limb down. And then they were like, at the end of the day, I was like, now, you know, for the trunk, a chainsaw is going to have to be used. And is that okay? And sure, but like 4 o'clock. I can hear 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, so with each limb that I cut, I was giving gratitude and thank you. Thank you for your beautiful limbs. Thank you. And you know what? You could see the essence, like little sparkles, you know, going off into the air. It's like, oh, thank you, thank you. You know, they're alive. They're living beings, and they need to be appreciated. It's like somebody dying, and you're just throwing them in the trash, you know, with no appreciation. And it's the same thing. I get really kind of emotional and passionate about it, too, just taking a tree down. That really upsets me. You know, I can hear them scream, and it's because they're in shock, and especially the ones that are healthy. They scream the loudest, and I've been in tears going out there. You're looking, standing, well, okay, what direction is it? And it's over here. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. This is happening. I can't do anything to stop this, but you know what? Thank you. And in having dialogue with the tree stops screaming. Mm-hmm. And then I see those little lights, and it's like, thank you. And it goes back. You know, it just goes back into nature. the essence, it's release. It's thank you, the gratitude. Thank you for holding sacred space, because they're holding negativity down. You don't realize how valuable our trees are and how wise they are. And so all they want to do is be appreciated.
Yes.
And so you go with these house cleansings, and you appreciate the outside, all the living beings on the outside. And on the inside, you want to make sure that it's free of clutter. And because if the energy can't go around your house, it creates blockages. And guess what? You're going to have blockages in your body.
Yes.
As within, so without. As without, so within. You got to be careful. Make sure your home is healthy.
All right, everybody. We are almost out of time. We've got about 2 minutes left. Tiffany, your website is Goldilocks Healing Temple. It's www.whitesagewoman.com, where she can be found. Anything else you would like to promote?
No.
I didn't know if you had like a, you know, a speaking event coming up or something like that. Okay.
Can't know. Everything just is on the website. It's hard to talk about yourself. It's not my favorite subject.
I understand.
Yeah.
Right.
So we mentioned, and it's also linked to the show for everybody listening now or in the magical time machine that is the archive listen.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for joining
us. Thank
you. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure talking to you, and I'll be doing a message when I get home.
Yes, thank you. Many blessings.
Many blessings.
All right. Thank you very much. And everyone, you've been listening to Main Street Universe, the show and network reminding you that the mystery and possibility of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. Have a great...
Now I can imagine a lot.
Have a great evening.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.